This episode starts with an apology from me. I messed up last week, and Mike and Skylar went along with it because they didn't know any better.
We're so gullible.
Last week, I mentioned that we were on episode 76. We were indeed not on episode 76.
Big
it was
prankster.
Actually our 75th episode.
We should have been celebrating Eugene Monroe instead of Luke Jokel.
We should have. And I messed up. And I am sorry. From the deepest part of my heart, I am very, very sorry. So I hope you guys can forgive me.
Shut up.
I hope the listeners can forgive me.
I think Eugene's the one affected here the most.
At least I hit record. Yeah, that's a jab at you, Scott. Sorry. Oh, man. Yeah. So episode 76. Officially 76. We've got Gators, we've got Noles, we've got Jags, we've got your regular stuff. We have a golf tournament that Skylar's going to tell us about, and we've got an actual Iceman update that I didn't do a good job of last episode, so I wanted to this episode. So we're really not going to waste any time. We are going to start, though, with our favorite segment, Around the Sunshine State. The Roundup, if you will. Keith, cue the music, because you're going to be editing this later. And let's see, we started with Skylar last week. Mike, get the ball rolling for us.
All right, I'm going to go ahead and start out in Tallahassee. The FAMU Rattlers did not have a game. They were on a bye week, so that's FAMU for you. They do play Arkansas Pine Bluff on Saturday at 4 p.m. in Tallahassee.
In the nasty. All right. Well, going down south, well, actually, this was a road game. Traveling to Charlotte. The FIU Panthers pick up their third win of the season over the Charlotte Miners, 34-15. They are still eighth in Conference USA, so not a great season for FIU, but hey, a win is a win. They scored 34 straight points in that game.
All right, I'll start off with some Bethune-Cookman football here. They get their second win of the season, big, going up against Mississippi Valley State Delta Devils. Say that five times fast. Let me see who they got up next. Looks like Bethune-Cookman is going to Prairie View. 3 o'clock game, Saturday, October 29th. Prairie View A&M Panthers, 4-3. So that should be an even matchup, I would think. So get your popcorn ready for that game.
I'll be tuning in.
Going a little further out west, the FAU Owls went to El Paso, Texas, and played the UTEP Miners. And lost on a game-winning field goal, unfortunately. They lost 24-21 as Willie Taggart takes another L as head coach of FAU, and his days are probably numbered in Boca Raton. And they do play UAB next week at home.
The South Florida Bulls dropped their fifth straight game. Their only win this season is against Howard. How this team almost beat Florida is mind-boggling to me, but they lose 45-31 against Tulane at home. Their quarterback, Jerry Bohannon, is actually out for the season, so that's not going to help them at all, as he was their leading passer. They travel to Houston next week to take on Houston.
Yeah, Florida should have lost that game. And then UCF, you know, they lost two to East Carolina this week. East Carolina went up 17-0, and UCF could not come back, only scoring 13 points. East Carolina winning 34-13. UCF now has Cincinnati to play a tough opponent. There was rumors that College Game Day was going to be down there, but after UCF's performance, I'm not anticipating that much at all.
New local favorite, the Edwaters Tigers, pick up their second win of the season.
Duval.
Yes, sir. Beating Central State, which is in Ohio. Central State Marauders. And I actually remember watching them on TV earlier this season because I'd never heard of them. And they've got that Minnesota Golden Gophers maroon and goldish combo. But yeah, Edwaters taking care of business. Three more games on the season. They travel to Miles College next week.
And lastly, I gotta get my voice warmed up for this one.
Uh-oh.
The Miami Hurricanes played the Duke Blue Devils and they got absolutely smacked at home. 45-21, and Miami had eight turnovers.
Eight?
Yes. Eight turnovers.
Oh, my goodness.
So
they did that in honor of Mark Brunell, I'm assuming, right?
Yeah, no. Miami, I'm sorry. Your team is a complete dumpster fire. And you did something. I mean, this is not the first time. Duke has beaten Miami 3 times out of the last 5 meetings. You know who Duke has never beaten?
Florida State Seminoles.
That is correct.
Never, ever?
Never.
Never, ever.
Florida
never.
State is 19-0.
Man.
Miami is 15-5.
You got to remember, we haven't been in the ACC.
Well, yeah, no.
Super long.
And Duke's not, like, a very good team. It's just it's a long year.
Yeah, but the problem is we play them every 3 years, 3-4 years. Miami plays them every year.
Yeah, that'll do it. That'll do it.
So, Miami, enjoy the L.
That'll do it.
Enjoy your team quitting on your head coach. And I cannot wait to put the smackdown on you in Miami Gardens later this year.
Ooh.
God, you better hope that we win that game by like 30.
We are not going to lose to Miami. Book it.
If Florida State loses, we have to bring Kevin on the show.
That's fine. Bring Kevin on the show if Miami wins.
Write that in my big book.
Miami has no shot of beating Florida State later this year.
He's allowed to say whatever he wants to you.
That's fine.
We'll lock the doors. It's just you.
That's fine. Miami is a dumpster fire. And I remember I predicted a few episodes ago that Mario Cristobal will be fired by the end of 2025. I think that was the prediction.
I can see that.
Yeah, they're not a good team. Their team is just, it's great. It's great to witness as a Florida State fan.
All right. Well, it's in the book, so it is official.
You got to double check with Kevin on that one, too. See if he wants to come on.
I'm sure he would love to yell at
you. He'd call in or whatever he can do. Yeah. So that wraps up the Sunshine State roundup. And, well, we're coming off 2 bye weeks. Well, thank goodness. I mean, Florida State and Florida could not lose this week, and they didn't.
Florida State kind of lost a little bit yesterday.
Why?
They lost a recruit to Florida.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm not thinking about that
right now.
Well,
that's,
sorry.
Yeah, we lost. They kind of took a recruiting L there, but it's okay.
It is what it is.
I mean, we're going to lose recruits.
In the grand scheme of things, our record did not change in a way to negatively affect us.
That is correct.
Unfortunately, all 3 of us are Jaguar fans, so we still had to suffer losing this weekend, but we'll get to that in a moment. Skyler, this is probably the most, fun, storied, rivalry with the Gators. I think Florida State is fun. I don't know, is there something about Florida-Georgia, because it's here in Jacksonville, to me, makes it a little bit more exciting.
Yeah, I mean, it's always been great, like, just growing up, and you could argue it's the largest rivalry in all of college football. That's a fair argument. I mean, you got Michigan, Ohio State, obviously, they fill out their stadiums, but when it comes to, like, neutral site rivalries and, like, the scene it's created, it's the world's largest cocktail party. We would be able to have more people in the stands if the stadium was larger. So they're just all hanging out drinking. So, you know, they add bleachers to the stadium. It looks insane. I haven't been in the game, in for a game, but, you know, being at Jaguars games the week prior, you see how much prep is put into the stadium, and just the thought of 90,000 in TIAA Bank.
I'll say last season I didn't go in, but I was walking around the outside, and every time there was a Georgia touchdown, it was scary. Like, I was maybe a half mile from the stadium, and it was like what you see on TV. Like, I don't know if you guys saw that clip of Tennessee scoring and beating Alabama, and it was a guy in like an apartment like a couple blocks away.
Not this, yeah, I have not
seen
it.
It was an eruption, and it was like, oh man, I wish I would get that rowdy for the Jags, but you know, again,
2017 it did.
Yeah,
like
been a minute.
Patriots game is probably the best atmosphere I've been in for a Jaguar game, but
yeah.
Speaking of Florida Georgia, that, like, you know, you see it on TV, that atmosphere never disappoints. It's always just a fun game, no matter what's happening. Like we won with Treyon Harris, and like no one would anticipate that, and that's a fun memory. I remember, like, I think that game we won, I can't remember what year it was, but it was like Treyon Harris only had like three passes or something. Like, it wasn't like a lot. Treyon didn't throw a bunch. He ran, and then we had a fake field goal converted for a touchdown.
Oh, yeah, I remember
that. So that game, I met up at a JU dorm with my buddy Brandon Holmes, and we took a party bus. Had a Halloween party the night before, and then took a party bus around, like, it was 7 in the morning. We went to a lot, And that game didn't start till what, 3:30, I think, that is, like, as always. And I ended up going back to the dorm before kickoff, I think, because I just didn't want to stay. It was cold. I was done drinking.
A cold game.
Yeah. It was probably like 55, breeze, really cold. I was wearing a flannel. I was double breast pocketing some beers. And
that's the way to do it.
I was underage, actually, I think. But
even more fun. But
didn't matter.
Dimes on Duval does not advocate.
Yeah, we don't
for
condone that.
Drinking. Remember that, Mike? Your video?
That was the last video we did.
I'm pretty sure it was. Was that?
That was
that
the,
Georgia, Florida?
Yeah.
That was.
It was. I'm pretty sure.
You mean Florida, Georgia?
No.
Sorry.
No, it's Georgia,
Florida.
When my
friends come to town, it's Georgia, Florida.
They're not in town right now.
I am almost positive that was the Georgia, Florida weekend.
Yes, it was, because I was wearing my my J's and they're Georgia colors, and I only wore them because of that.
I don't remember.
That was before I had a Georgia polo, so that was the only like Georgia colored thing I
wore. You're going to be in Georgia this weekend anyways. Like, you're not even going to be here for Florida, Georgia. Like,
yeah, well, I'm going to be with them, watching the game with them.
Exactly. You're not even coming down, so it's Florida, Georgia still.
They, you know what? They've paid their dues. They've come down here countless times. And you know how many years I had to sit at work while they went to the game, and then I had to meet up with them afterwards?
Oh, no, it was actually the 4th of July.
That was the 4th of July one.
Then we meet up.
We were in different outfits in that one. I was wearing an Iceman polo. It was a different party. I promise you. We'll talk about it off air.
Okay.
But then we meet up with them after one game, like a couple years ago. Like, I came here with Rachel and we rode
here.
Yeah, we rode around. Like, no, it was here because we rode around and I like flew over a train track. I can't remember. Anyways, that was
they have been here for one year.
That was probably Florida, Georgia when they were down here too. But that was fun.
Yeah, because I'm pretty sure they scootered to the game because that was right when they first had the scooters. Oh man, good stuff. It's gonna be, you know, it's a rivalry. It's always a good game. We're happy to have it here. But Mike, mm-hmm. I want to turn it over to you. Kirby Smart, recruiting concerns factors into the Florida, Georgia neutral site debate.
Yeah.
And he's for doing a home and home and taking it out of Jacksonville. The contract is up
in a few years.
2023.
I think 2023 with the option to extend it to 2025.
Yeah, they have a 2-year option. And it's an important tradition for us. I mean, it's huge for the city of Jacksonville. Do you think, just based off of where we are at as a city right now, do you think this game stays here? I'll go to you next, Skylar.
I think so. I saw an article today about that. Someone suggested, why don't they rotate it on a yearly basis between four cities: Athens, Gainesville, Jacksonville, and Atlanta.
I don't like that.
I mean, it makes sense. It's close. One's closer. One's obviously the home stadium for the Bulldogs. One's the Gators.
Sure.
Jacksonville's closer to Gainesville, and Atlanta's closer to Atlanta.
Let me reiterate.
I'm sorry. Atlanta's closer to Athens.
I don't like it because that means we only get revenue one out of every 4 years.
I could be fine with Atlanta and Jacksonville, but Atlanta already has so many big games. Like,
yeah, they don't need any more.
Yeah, like this.
What do you mean? We have the Gator Bowl.
Okay, yeah. This, we need this. Like,
the Gator Bowl stinks. I mean, it used to be a fun matchup, and
that's because the playoff kind of killed it.
It did. Yeah. It did, but it was dying before that. I mean.
Lamar Jackson that came here.
Yeah, but I remember going 1 year and it was like Wake. It's like, oh wow, Wake Forest. Whew. That's a marquee matchup right there.
But okay, not to talk about Gator Bowl because that's irrelevant right now. But to answer your question, I think it's moving. I don't know, like, it makes sense. Recruiting is you can't have recruits for these neutral site games, which is a problem for these schools now. So I see it completely ending here in Jacksonville pretty soon.
It needs to stay here, whatever they need to do to keep it here, because it's at this point, it's Jacksonville history. It's a part of, you know, the fabric of the city. And
aside from home and home games in 94 and 95, it's been played in Jacksonville since 1933.
It's insane.
It's literally a Jacksonville tradition. I think the city of Jacksonville needs to throw whatever money they can at this to keep it here, because like you said, this is our tradition. I understand the whole not being able to host recruits, yada, yada. Okay. Well, Kirby, you know what? You're getting enough recruits right now.
And there's also a lot of recruits in the Jacksonville area. Like, if Georgia wins in front of Trinity Christian, in front of Bowles, in front of, you know, whoever. Like, there's so many good players right now in this mm-hmm. area, and they're continuing to get better. So, like, why take them from Jacksonville to Atlanta to, like, you know, a stadium that they'll maybe play in, like, one every 4 years? You know?
Yeah.
Like,
they can still get tickets.
Yeah.
They could literally have – they can't host them and have a party for them. Boo-hoo.
There's so many things they can do to get around so many things. I mean, you don't even need to – like, yeah, you like you said, there's so many recruits here in Jacksonville, and then, like, there's all the recruits you want to bring. Just bring them here, and then, you know, that's that. You have, like, twice as many recruits at that point.
Yeah, looking at this ESPN article here, it says the payout for each team from Jacksonville is approximately – $2.9 million for each school in 2022 and 2023, which includes a guaranteed $1.25 million and a split of gate revenue. Georgia also receives $350,000 each year for its charter flight, buses, and lodging, while Florida receives $60,000 with no flights required.
Yeah. So, I mean,
it's, oh, darn, it's such a struggle to get down here.
There's so many Georgia fans in this area, too. Let us keep our tradition.
They really are, and they travel well, too. They really do.
And, like, that's the whole point of having this game in Jacksonville is for the Southern Georgia fans. It's if you move it to Athens, no one in, you know, Charleston, Brunswick, not Charleston, but Brunswick, you know, and
yeah,
just in that area. And then also you lose the Jacksonville Georgia fans.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think I would know as many Georgia fans if this game wasn't played here. I know a lot of Georgia fans in this area, probably more than Gator fans, honestly. Like, if I had to think about it, like, there's so many, and it's probably because of that game. And honestly, it might be because they maybe felt sorry for them during some of the streaks. Like,
yeah,
like that. Honestly, like, there's people that root for teams because they feel pity. And also, people also don't like the color orange. So, like, when you see red and black, it looks mean, whatever. But,
sure, sure. But, well, I have two cool quotes here. One of them is from a Georgia player. One of them is from a Gator player. So, Georgia senior safety Christopher Smith said his favorite part of the annual game is when you step into the stadium and you see the crowd split 50-50. That's a cool feeling. You wouldn't get that in a home-and-home.
And I don't think you would get that in Atlanta. I don't think you would get half Gator fans there.
Nope. And then Anthony Richardson says, it's pretty cool being in Jacksonville, seeing the stadium split half and half. Oh, never mind. His wasn't as good of a quote, but I'll just leave it at that part and say, yeah, look, he likes the half and half too. I read the whole thing. I was like, oh, wait, he wasn't actually super excited about it. But anyway, that's it for Florida. Let's turn the table to the other 4-3 team in the state of Florida, and that is the Florida State Seminoles. 5 more games remain in the season. Georgia Tech is this weekend. They are 3-4. We have Miami, who you already mentioned to me that we are going to trounce.
Yep.
The 16th ranked Syracuse Orange. At Syracuse.
Uh-huh.
Louisiana Raging Cajuns. And Florida. 5 games.
5 L's.
3.
No three shot. At home, 5 L's.
3 at home, 2 on the road. How many wins
get? Huh? You got a mistake. There's 4 games at home. Because Miami doesn't have any fans.
My goodness. I love it. Yeah. I love it.
How many weeks away is that rivalry?
It's 3 weeks.
11-5.
3. No, 2 weeks. It's next weekend.
Yep.
Uh-oh. That's my dad's birthday.
God, I hope 7:30 p.m.
on ABC.
I will be in North Carolina.
Oh. Why?
I have a friend's wedding.
Oh.
So I'll be trying to watch that game, so we'll see. But go ahead, Keith. What are you going to say?
5 games remain. 4 at home, wink, wink. 1 on the road. How many wins does Florida State get?
My expectation is 3 wins. However, I see the potential for 5-0. Anything less than 3-2 would be disappointing. Now, the 3 wins, You got to beat Georgia Tech this weekend. You got to beat Louisiana. I'm okay with losing to Syracuse, which I think I never say that in my life, but just this year. And you'll probably split the rivalries. Personally,
nice.
I think they go 4-1. I think the minimum they should go is 3-2.
All right, so what am I writing down? What is your official
prediction? My official prediction is 4-1.
Okay.
Oh.
4-1.
What's the one?
The one will be Syracuse. Oh. I think we'll beat Georgia Tech.
But you just said we're split the...
No, I think the expectation. Like, you should expect 3-2, split the rivalries. Should. Like, that's the minimum. You can't go 2-3.
After we went 4-0, remember, our expectations were pretty damn high. Yeah. And now it's
go 2-3 in this stretch.
We're lucky that we're not playing Georgia Tech in Atlanta. We mentioned that last week. That's a great thing. Miami is Miami. They have been brutal. Like you said, they've given up on their coach. It's just a whole freaking mess. 8 turnovers? I still can't believe
eight turnovers,
that.
It's like an Arby's.
You told me preseason that Syracuse would even be ranked at all to begin with, let alone battling Clemson. Yeah. I mean,
you think I'm crazy if I said that.
Yeah, it's crazy. And Louisiana, whatever.
Or you would think they had Carl Nassib still.
Wow, that's a... Okay, good pull. And then Florida is same boat as us, kind of.
And
just
it's
like,
also the first...
No,
it's the first game in the Florida State-Florida rivalry in Tallahassee since 2018.
Damn.
Because all that COVID stuff.
So I expect...
I forgot about that.
I expect the fans to show up for that game.
Oh, they better.
So...
Are you going?
No.
Oh, well...
It's Thanksgiving. It's hard to do right now, I think. As a college student, it's easier to do that.
Yeah, it's a Friday night, remember?
It's also Friday night. It's not Saturday. So
that's dumb.
Yeah.
So that's Black Friday?
Yeah, Black Friday. Mm-hmm. So I expect Florida State to go 4-1. Okay. That is my official prediction. But I would not be upset with 3-2. 2-3, you're talking about firing your head coach. So not this year going in. Probably he's on the hot seat going into next year.
I wonder what kind of bowl game that would land us.
If we go in 2-3?
No. If we go with your prediction, 4-1.
So we'd be 8-4?
Yeah.
Gator Bowl could be a possibility. I would go to that game. You would go to that game.
I would.
At 8-4, that you think in Gator Bowl?
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know what these bowl like tie-ins and stuff like that.
I'm not very good at that. Sure, we'll look at it when we get closer.
I saw a projection.
Meineke Car Care Bowl.
I saw a projection either this morning or last night. I can't remember. We were projected for the Mayo Bowl in Charlotte.
Ooh, Mayo.
So, I mean.
Dale Jr. goes to that game, I think, or I don't know.
If it's the Hellman's one, yeah, it would be.
So that's a better bowl than the Gator Bowl. I've seen Florida and Notre Dame predicted at the Gator Bowl and Florida UNC. Which
Notre Dame is so bad.
Yeah.
As of CBSSports.com, as of tonight of this recording, we are picked to go to the Holiday Bowl in San Diego, California against Utah. We would get...
What day is that?
We'd like get what? Trashed. I'm sorry. December 28th.
Against Utah? What? Well, that's, I just realized you said Utah. What?
We would get waxed.
They must think we're going to go 5-0.
It's probably like the fourth
or they
ACC
think
Utah versus like
lose.
The second pack.
Utah doesn't have a tough game left, I'm pretty sure.
Well, they're going to have to play in the championship game, right?
I don't know. They have the top two teams. The Pac-12 has the top two teams making the Pac-12 championship. They don't have divisions anymore.
Well, they
anymore.
Beat USC, and they lost to Florida, and then...
Well, Florida doesn't count in that.
Yeah, I know, exactly. So they only maybe have one conference
They may
loss.
Have Oregon left. So, yeah, they might. I don't know. It could be Oregon, UCLA, Oregon, USC.
Well, UCLA just lost to Oregon, so Oregon's got the tiebreak on them.
Well, it would be top two seed. That top two in the standings. That's what I'm saying.
They don't have conferences, right?
Well, like, so... But my point saying is, like, UCLA would be under Oregon.
Yeah, but if it's Oregon, UCLA 1-2, it'd be Oregon, UCLA in the Pac-12 title game. They don't have divisions. They got rid of that division.
Right now, Oregon's the top, 4-0 in the conference. USC's second at 4-1. UCLA's 3-1. Utah's 3-1. The reason Utah's lower is they've got two losses.
Well, because they also lost to... who did they lose to in
so
conference?
It is conference.
Oh, they lost to UCLA, yeah. They lost to UCLA in conference.
So that gives Oregon the boost a little bit. Do they play Oregon later?
Yes,
they do
play Oregon. November 19th.
In Autzen Stadium.
I like how we're talking about Utah again when we talked a couple episodes about them, too. We can't get off the Utes.
Man.
For Florida, though, December 17th, they are predicted to go to the Las Vegas Bowl.
Viva Las Vegas.
A fellow Pac-12 team, Washington.
Mm. Colorful matchup.
Purple and gold.
versus orange and blue.
Orange and puke blue. Right. Worst orange and blue combo in
It's like the same blue for the Magic, right?
No. Wait,
what's the classified shade of blue for Magic?
The hex code is 0077CO, I think.
But what's like the...
I've typed it in so many times. I don't know what it's called.
It's not royal blue at all.
I don't think so. I really don't know. But similar. I mean, I don't know. I don't want to go off on a color tangent. So that's it for Florida State football. Thank you for your predictions, Mike. I think 3-2 is my expectation. I'm just going to throw that out there. I don't know. I'm just saying that just to
Miami and Florida
participate. Yeah. No, Louisiana and Florida.
Ooh.
No.
Separation.
The Jaguars. So.
Do we have to?
Yeah.
Listen.
Especially with J-Rob.
We're not going to get too deep into the game or anything like that. I don't really want to do that. We already know what happened. We're all pissed about it. You both were there, right?
Mm-hmm. Sadly.
You were in a suite.
Yeah, it must be nice. I was scored. It was hot.
Well, I went out in the sun around the 50-yard line in the club area for a little bit.
Yeah, it's hot. Like, it was hot. It was 70 degrees in my ass. It was like felt like it was 95.
Yeah, no. There was
not a cloud in the sky, and we needed clouds.
Same with the Texans game. I got roasted that game.
Yeah, screw that game.
Thank you, son. But anyway, two things I want to touch on. The first one being, of course, the James Robinson trade to the Jets for a conditional sixth-round pick that could turn into a fifth round.
It should if he stays healthy.
Well, he only needs 250 yards, right?
Yeah, he's going to get – it'll be a fifth-round pick.
He's going to have that by the end of the week.
He's going to start – he's going to definitely start ASAP. I don't see why he wouldn't.
I mean, usually they let him kind of – come in a little bit slower, and then the next week they take the reins. So
unless you're Christian McCaffrey,
yeah. Well, did he?
But he's also a,
he's a perennial top 20 player in the league.
Top, yeah. Okay, so it hurts. I don't know about you guys. I mean, it is what it is. It's a business. We latched on to this guy
because he was the only bright spot in 2020,
and 1-15 team,
and also he was the main guy that got screwed by Urban Meyer last year.
Yep. And he handled it all with such class.
Yep.
He was an undrafted guy, so you felt good for him. He beat out Leonard Fournette, so you're like, wow, like an undrafted guy just beat out Lenny.
He's a record holder.
This is crazy. He's a record holder. He changed his number and then took care of everybody that changed the jerseys for them. All around class act.
You know, dysfunctional ass organization.
And gone. Just like that.
I mean,
it is a business. It obviously wasn't a part of the offense according to the coaching staff, but
it's like what I mentioned last week, how it kind of feels like there needs to be one featured back in this offense in order for it to kind of like thrive and for one back to have that momentum. So that way when you do have that short yard situation, they have the legs kind of under them still. You're not pulling someone that's been sitting. So
yeah, and the whole rumor this weekend was people thinking, are they covering up an injury? Are they, is there something internally going on? Because he got zero touches against New York, and now he's gone.
Now he's in New York.
And now he's I guess New Jersey, but
yeah, true.
ETN is the guy now. So you know what the worst part of this is to me? We're going to sit here, whether it be this coming weekend in London or in another game this season, it's going to be 3rd and 1. We're driving just outside of field goal range. We need one more first down to really get into field goal range. There's no James Robinson to move the rock 1 yard. So we're going to put in Snoop Connor.
No, Jermichael Hasty.
They're going to get -2 yards.
Maybe.
So
you don't like the trade?
I don't like it. I get it, but I don't like it. We have to come to terms that this is the offense. He's not going to change this offense.
Yeah, I think
we're going to throw 40 times, and we're going to run maybe 20 times. And that's it. We have to be okay with it, whether the running game is fluid as hell, and we're rushing. Let's see, we had 142 rush yards this past game. Doesn't matter, because we have to throw the ball 44 times.
Man, that game, So we can we talk about the game, or are we still talking about James Robinson?
Sure. Yeah, go ahead.
This loss falls squarely on Doug Peterson.
Yeah.
Why do you not kick a field goal in the fourth quarter when you are up?
Four.
Four. Thank you. I forgot the exact total.
Yeah. Would have made it a 7-point
you
game.
You then make it a 7-point game, and you don't give the Giants short field position. Granted, they may have still driven down the field and scored if you kicked it away.
Sure, but then they have to make the tough decision.
They have to make go four on fourth down on fourth and 10, fourth and six, whatever. They make that decision. Put the pressure on them, but instead you put the pressure on the defense, which we've now realized is not good.
No.
Like, what are – this loss, I think, is on Doug Peterson 100%. Trevor didn't look great, but then again, he had made some throws that were like, God dang, this is Trevor Lawrence, like from college. Like, he made some great throws.
Still can't hit a pass over 20 yards.
Yeah, that's a little concerning to me. But anyways, this is all on Doug Peterson, in my opinion. And Travis. Etienne did have 100 yards, over 100 yards. That fumble also kind of killed the momentum for the Jags. But, like, I don't know. I'm just this Jags team.
We've been playing teams that have been good in certain times that were not good. This Jaguars team is a first and third quarter team. We've been playing a lot of teams that are good in the second and fourth. The Giants are a very good fourth quarter
team.
Yes,
they are.
The Eagles are a great second quarter team. It's just sometimes it just doesn't work that way, but you got to be smart about the play calling, and they weren't.
I don't know about you guys, but I'm on draft season. I'm done with the season.
Well,
that's what I voted in your poll.
Yeah.
That's what I was going to bring up next. So, yeah, Mike, you had that poll. Do you have the numbers for that, by the way? Is it over or is it still going on?
I did it for one day. I should have probably done it for 2 days, but it's okay.
That's fine. You
got
five
votes.
I only got 11 votes. Not like my normal polls where I get like 45, 50.
Yeah, you should have done it longer.
Yeah, it's okay. I tweeted, draft season, ? One of the options was Cy, yes, or Mike, you're an idiot, no.
I laughed when I read that because, like, Mike, you're an idiot. I wanted to vote for that and just say I only voted it because you called yourself an idiot.
So 11 votes, 55% said yes, 45% said no. So by that math, it is 7 said yes, 5 said no. So it's pretty split.
Okay.
I voted draft season in that, but I don't think the season's quite dead yet. I mean,
or I'm sorry, 6 said yes, 5 said no. I did terrible math.
I believe we get a win this week in London, and then Vegas is a beatable team as well, but they're also they can also beat us just
they
as well.
They beat the Texans and we didn't. So.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, there's always
that. We got
that
one more shot.
And that's another thing too, is we also have to play the Titans twice, so I mean, if we miraculously beat them somehow twice, you know, that's two games that they're taken down in the win column. So it's not quite over. It's not quite dead, but it's
okay.
Just,
but if we lose to Denver this week, are you throwing the season away? I'm throwing the season away.
Yeah, I threw the season away after the Colts.
Well, yeah, I mean, they're not going to have that mindset in the locker room, obviously.
They
but,
shouldn't, or they're not going to be on NFL roster.
I don't care about the mindset. Yeah, no. Do you throw away the season if we lose to Denver in London?
I think there was just so much hype from the first couple, like the win, the shutout versus the Colts and the win versus LA. I think it caused or created an unfair.
But what changed? What changed so much that
we weren't supposed to win those
teams.
Games. We weren't supposed to win those games. We were
the
supposed
Colts.
To...
Matt Ryan just got benched.
Okay, yeah. Okay, well, that game maybe we should have won, but we shouldn't have beat the Chargers. The other games, maybe we should have won, but that's where it's like it's year one. We're just seeing what we have. Not ever. It never was meant to be like. I know the mindset is to win, get to the playoffs, and that's how you know. As long as you're in the tournament, you have a chance. But honestly, I don't think the coach's mindset ever was off the fact that it's year one. You had to see what you have.
But I want your mindset. Did you throw away the season like they did before the season started?
I can't say I throw it away because, like, it's a successful season in my mind if they get 5-6 wins. So that's still on the table. You know, if they lose to Denver, there's still a chance to get 4 more wins. Like,
I got something for you then. Is it a successful season if got to pull up their stats.
If they have less than 6 wins, it's unsuccessful.
Is it a successful season if Trayvon Walker and Josh Allen finish with less? Okay, right now Josh Allen has 3 sacks. Trayvon has 2.
I don't rate the team's success on individual.
But I mean, for them, are those successful seasons? Do you re-sign Josh Allen next year?
No.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
No?
You trade him this offseason. You trade him now.
Do you?
I wouldn't sign him if he's got less than 10.
I wouldn't sign him if he signs. I wouldn't sign him regardless. I wouldn't sign an long-term extension.
If he gets 15, then sign him.
Okay, so looking here.
If he gets in between 10 and 15, negotiate.
The top 5 salaried players on the team right now. Shaq.
Cut.
Gone.
Yeah. Traded for gone. A bag of chips, please.
Jenkins.
He's been okay.
And we can get younger, all right?
RRH. Roy Robertson Harris.
You keep him. You need valuable depth in the D-line.
Yeah.
Marvin, you keep.
He'll probably be gone.
He cussed a lot.
You don't want Marvin?
No, he'll probably be gone just because, like, dude, he's not going to want to stay on another losing team. He stayed on a losing team his entire career.
Sure. And then Evan Engram.
I would bring him back, but
I think he's the best tight end we have.
But the thing is,
this is Mercedes in Green Bay.
The thing is, will he want to stay?
Yeah, and I think that's what it'll come down to. I think we'll give him an offer, but if he finds more money elsewhere or he finds a contender or something like that, yeah, he'll go. But do you give – fine. So if you don't give the bag to Josh Allen, do you give it to Juwan Taylor?
Hell no.
And who do you give the bag to? You got
to
give the bag
to
somebody.
Someone else, someone that's not in your organization. You need a winning culture here. Okay. You can't have players that have been losing their entire careers. I'm done with these losing mentality of these players.
You don't think Josh Allen is better than his numbers?
No.
I think he can be.
I'm just throwing questions at you guys.
He has games where he takes over. Well, like, I mean,
he hasn't taken over since the Bills game last year.
Well, that's – yeah, I mean, he has
You're talking now about 12, 13 games later.
Yeah, so he hasn't done his job.
I want to see – and I don't have these numbers, and I know you guys don't either. I want to see the amount of times him and Trayvon get double-teamed in a game, which that's not making an excuse of any sort. I just want to see how many times they're getting double teamed as if they are like that guy.
And see
if maybe they are more successful on single teams, which I'm sure they are. But
we're
you know what I'm saying?
With
I feel like
Foley
we don't have,
in there too.
And Foley helps that. But the problem is keeping him on the field. I don't know. It's going to be a really interesting rest of the season.
Man, if the Jags lose the Broncos, this season's toast, and you're going to see some players get benched and traded.
It's ASAP. It's also very hard to get to the quarterback when the ball's out of their hands in 2 seconds and there's a receiver already open.
But my thing is, that's when you're, as a defensive coordinator, you game plan against that.
Yeah.
Don't play deep coverage.
Yeah.
You play man-to-man.
For God's sakes, have a freaking QB spy.
I'm not going to say play man-to-man because I don't know if like, that's the right defense to play. But you should have the correct scheme against...
Yeah, dude, I don't know all that intricate stuff. I wish
against,
I did.
Like,
props to those people.
Against Matt Ryan, you should have had a good defense game plan going against that.
I think.
Because the Titans this past week completely made Matt Ryan look like garbage, and they did something. Matt Ryan was throwing balls quick, like he was getting rid of them, and nothing happened. And then this past week, Daniel Jones, you would realize after the first, like, 4 runs, okay, let's do a quarterback spy, quarterback contain.
Press. We need you guys hitting the receiver at the line so he can't get it out fast because they're not getting the separation.
Maybe. It's, I don't know. But my
that goes back to the Jags, where we have no freaking receivers getting any separation. We have terrible separation.
And that's why, by the way, I don't think we get Marvin Jones back because we need to get younger at that position.
His is, I want to see it because I have a.
Are we going after the LSU receiver?
God, no. Keyshawn Boutte? No, I'm good. I want Jackson Smith and Jigba.
Marvin Jones. Okay, so the league average of separation is 2.92 yards. Marvin Jones, 1.43. Best on the team, Engram at 3.31.
You said that the.
Zay Jones, 0 yards.
Dang.
You know what I'm going to do? Starting every episode, I'm going to bring a name to the table, a draft name, because I'm looking at draft. So people can get familiar with draft players.
So do you think we score more than 20 this week against Denver?
Absolutely not. The Chargers didn't put up 20 against the Broncos.
Do you think we win?
No. I'm picking any team against the Jaguars until the Jags win a game.
This is the mic I remember, and this is the mic I love.
Because
it's
bullshit.
I hate it.
We've dealt with this for 20 years.
You got your
I'm
hopes
over
up.
It.
You know how... Bro,
I am wearing
Washington Nationals hat right now. We lost over 100 games.
You won a World Series.
The Yeah, and we threw away the team that same year, and there's only like one guy left that's on the team, and he didn't even play this entire season.
And the others are in the World Series.
And the others are in the World Series, and we're in the...
CSs.
Yeah, CSs. I couldn't think of the short form. So I've got this hat on. My Orlando Magic, and your Orlando Magic, are 0-4 right now with the number one overall pick. And, but, you know, it's going to be a long year, but there's going to be progress. Yeah, but everybody's freaking hurting. It's annoying. I have the Lightning, who lost in the Stanley Cup final last year. That's my only good team because they have two finals.
So they had two championships before that.
But they started off the season like ass. We already know how Florida State is. We already know how the Jaguars are. The Packers suck too. I am tired of rooting for bad teams. I want my teams to win. I want the Magic and I want the Jags to be good, man. It hurts so bad.
You know,
you get so hyped for the season, and then the season starts, and you're like, wow, I'm just going to go ahead and...
cry?
I was going to say something worse than that. So, yeah, I'll go with that. I'm going to just go sit in my room. No, do the sad SpongeBob sitting on the edge of the bed, just crying like, man, I hate this team.
What were the win predictions we had going into the year?
A lot. I had a lot. Obviously.
Yeah, yours is toast.
I always have.
Skyler, 11-6.
We got to win the wrestling, boys.
9-8 for me and 7-10 for Mike.
Okay, do I have a 4-game losing streak in that?
We've already passed it. Yep. Chargers.
So
Philly,
I had a win against
Houston,
the Giants.
Indy.
Oh God, I was a week early on the win.
Yep.
Losses. Jesus.
Actually, Skyler predicted us to lose to Denver. That was before we knew what Denver
Russell Wilson
was.
Sucks. But yeah, no, I'm gonna.
Their
just,
defense is still legit though.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's why I don't think the Jags put 20 points on them.
That's why I asked.
Yeah, they don't put up 20 points. They won't. I'd be shocked if they put up 15. I'd be shocked.
Mm.
You got another rushing TD though for your.
Yes. I'm what, two away, one away.
I think you're just one away now.
Nice. All right. Just before, I'm assuming we're about to wrap up here because it's already 45 minutes.
Oh, we were gonna do the local update.
Oh, just Jags.
Yeah.
Give me one player that you see being traded before next Tuesday's deadline, before the trade deadline, if there is a trade, another trade by the Jaguars, because I think they're about to sell everyone, a lot of players. I'm going to go, and I'm going to say Josh Allen.
Okay.
And don't repeat the same player. See if you guys can have something different.
You got one, Skyler?
I got, I saw Dan Arnold being linked.
That's, I was gonna say a tight end. Yeah, I wasn't gonna say which one, but I was just gonna say a tight end.
What's our other ones?
You got Evan Ingram, you've got Manhurts, you've got what's that other guy's name?
I don't think anyone would trade for Manhurts.
No. Luke Farrell.
Yeah, I don't think anyone would trade for him really either.
But yeah, those
I was just gonna say a tight end.
I got Josh Allen. You got,
I guess I'll go with Arnold.
Arnold.
I'll just say then a receiver,
not Shaq.
A receiver.
I was either going to
go Shaq,
with
Griffin.
I was saying maybe Chaseon.
Oof. Does anyone even want him?
I don't even think you can get a bologna sandwich.
I don't think
Chaseon.
You can get cash considerations for him.
His own family doesn't want him.
Okay, that's a little too much. But yeah, I mean, I'm just, this team has just sent me to a point where it's just frustration. Just complete frustration.
Empty stats and just frustration.
But you know what I'm also glad with this week, with Sunday? The Jags will be done by 12 o'clock, 12:30.
It's nice.
And you can just relax the rest of the day. You get pissed off for like an hour. Then you see the rest of the football games. You see what good football looks like.
I won't
pissed
even
off
be in town.
London.
I'll be good.
The
I'll
London
good.
Games don't really piss us off, obviously. Like, we usually somehow win those games. So
we went over this last year. We have like a perfect 500 record or something out there.
Yeah, we're literally right down the middle. But I'm saying,
well, I mean, we caught up. Like the last few years have been better than the first.
Pretty 500. But what I'm saying is, you get to see good football teams play.
Right.
And the 1 o'clock slate looks pretty good.
Yeah. Well, anyway, let's wrap this up. Skyler.
Yes.
Coastal has a little golf tournament.
Well, I
shouldn't say little.
It's
pretty
not
big.
Even just a tournament. It's like the whole league.
Explain it.
So we've done it before, the best Dern Golf League. Basically what we try to do is pair up the PGA Tour with the courses we have, so that way you can play and, you know, compete in the same schedule that the players on tour do. So
I can play Sawgrass when they play Sawgrass? Is that what it means?
Yep. I mean, you could play Sawgrass anytime, but for the league, we have it set up to where, yeah, you play that in March, and you know, you have to play that in March. That one we consider, it's not a PGA major or a pro golf major or whatever, but it's a coastal major. It's worth double points. And so basically, if you're familiar with golf, they have a FedEx Cup. And
yes.
Just like many, like NASCAR and stuff, you collect points towards the cup and you go to the playoffs. And then at that point, you have a winner based on the points they get from the regular season, you know, determines their playoff positioning and such. And then the playoff performance determines the winner at the end of the season. So that's ultimately what this is. When we did it the first time, we were a little stricter on when to do it, but each tournament you have like a month and a half to do. The majors, like I mentioned, you have to do the month of, but there's only five majors, so, and golf spreads them out. So March is when they do Sawgrass, April is when the Masters is.
Okay.
May is PGA Championship. So
you have time. You don't have to do it on the exact day. That's nice.
Yeah, yeah, and then got the U.S. Open in June, and then the Open in July. So there's 27 total courses to get points for, and I don't know if I mentioned, yeah, I keep getting carried away a little bit, but the first time we did it, we took the winners on a private jet to Pinehurst, and they played Pinehurst number two, I believe, and then we flew them back in the same day.
Number two meaning there's two courses?
Well, there's like nine or so.
Oh.
They have a ton over there.
Okay. I didn't know that.
But yeah, they played the number two variation.
That's sick.
The Pinehurst has hosted U.S. Opens in the past, and Payne Stewart has... You might have seen Payne Stewart with his knickers celebrating a putt. That was at Pinehurst over a hilly green. So, but yeah, like for an example, so the idea is we're trying to get November 15th as the start date for the league, pretty much. There are events that the tour has done, like back in September, they played at the Country Club of Jackson for the Sanderson Farms Championship. We have that course, so you can play that course. TPC Summerlin up over in Las Vegas. They played that for the Shriners back in October.
So a lot of different month. Okay.
So I mean, yeah, there's basically averages around two per month. You have to do 10 to qualify. Top 20 in points get invited to our Coastal Invitational, and the winner of the Invitational, you know, hopefully based on participation, that will determine how great the prize will be.
Sweet.
We have connections to Jets. You know, my boss's mother-in-law as a co-owner of Sky Life Elite, so we can get
Got
you on a
the
jet.
Hookup. All right.
Yeah. Pretty cool stuff there.
Yeah, so if you want to go to a really cool course in a private jet, you're going to have to play in our league.
Yeah, and hit up Skyler or head up there and talk to Brian and get yourself signed up. It's definitely a better deal if you're a member, but if not, you can still join.
Yeah, and you can sign up for a membership too. Well, this helps save you some money too. You're not gonna regret it. Like, you're gonna get extra hours you can use to practice those courses and give you a little bit of an advantage. So,
and we're heading into the colder season. So, for those of you that don't like golfing in the cold, especially when you have those early tee times, you can go into Coastal instead. Okay, so moving on from Coastal, I wanted to do quickly just an Iceman update. Mike, have you been to an Iceman game?
Yes, it's been since pre-COVID, I'm pretty sure.
Okay, all right, so you've been to a game.
No,
Skyler hasn't.
You've not been.
I've never been to a hockey game.
Can we plan?
I'm down.
We could try to. What days do they play?
They play all day.
They play middle of the week, weekend.
I remember I was at the facility they're redoing now to make their practice facility at Emerson, the indoor ice, whatever. I was there once, and they called us off the free skate because they were just our rec game. And I didn't get to stay for it, but at the start of it, I started banging on the glass like a fan, and I scared the ref because what idiot's banging on the glass for a rec hockey game?
You're wild. You need to come to an Iceman game because they're a lot of fun. As someone who previously worked for them, obviously I've been to many, many, many games, but it's been a minute. I don't think I've gone since COVID either, so we should definitely go out and catch a game.
Yeah, I remember I took a... My ex at the time, that was definitely a...
Double X?
Yeah. The X. Not my last ex, the one before. Yeah, not... Yeah, well, whatever.
X twice removed.
Yeah, there we go. There we go. But yeah, so, no, Iceman games are
once
fun.
Once remarried.
They are fun. They now have a Jax Iceman app. To download the app, just type in Jax Iceman in your respective app store. download it. That way you can stay up to date with all of the news, scores, manage your tickets, and so forth. They actually opened the season just recently, last Saturday. They beat the Solar Bears 5-2. They are 2-0 right now, so that's a good start. Obviously, the Solar Bears are probably the team we play the most, them and the Everblades.
I want to see the Everblades.
Everblades always have our number, so just a heads up on that one.
Well, we should go to Amway and watch the Solar Bears.
We can do that, too.
I'd rather go to Amway to watch Magic.
Me, too.
We should go do a Bulls Magic game, too, at the same time.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Anyway.
You don't want to watch an L. I mean, they're going to lose every game, right?
Ha, 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 ha. Anyway.
Well, the Bulls are 2-1,
right?
We
won the Vooch trade.
Well, how? Y'all are 0-4.
We were the better players, and it helped us get draft picks.
We have Zach LaVine, DeMar DeRozan, and...
Anyway.
And then we have... What, White Mamba, right? Was it
Alex Caruso?
Yeah. I wanted to name him. Anyway, back to the topic at hand. The Iceman upcoming games, they don't have any promotions coming on very soon, but Veterans Day is Mental Health Awareness Game. That is Friday, November 11th at 7 p.m. And then that Saturday at 7 p.m., that's November 12th, is SpongeBob Night.
Ooh.
They're always fun with the themes. Definitely got to check out some of their theme nights. Superhero Night was always a fun one, too. And the Teddy Bear Toss. They have new black alternate jerseys as well. They actually look really cool. The hashtag is Lights Out. And they look kind of like the Lightning alternates.
Can you buy the black jerseys? Mm-hmm. Yep. How much is a jersey?
Oh, God.
I think it's like 90 probably.
Yeah, that's what it was when I worked there. Let's see. Oh, this is 150.
What?
150.
Is that game-worn, ice-issued?
It says Jacksonville Iceman black alternate jersey. 150, 150, 150. Youth is 110.
Does it say Duval on it?
It says Iceman just diagonally across the chest.
No, they need to change it. They need a Duval jersey. They need... change well, from the Iceman.
They have crazy ones. You know, they have the breast cancer ones. They had their superhero ones. They've had a couple different ones that have been really cool. So I'm sure they'll have a specialty uniform for some games.
Should they
year.
Change their name from the Iceman to the Florida Man?
Nah, because then we just get ridiculed.
Or the Florida Iceman?
Maybe, but there's already the Florida Everblades, so we can do that.
I wish we could go back to the Lizard Kings.
That would be cool, too.
They did the jersey.
Yeah.
So... at least they did that.
Yeah. Last but not least, they do have a beer. They collaborated with Ruby Beach Brewing Company, and they have officially launched their Flying Saucer American Lager. You can find that at the only Ruby Beach location near downtown. Grab a six-pack today. So that was it for that. I just wanted to... you know, get a few things out there about the Iceman. We will be periodically, just like we did with the Jumbo Shrimp, checking in on them from time to time to see how their record is. But that's about it for us tonight. We have a couple things in the works here for you guys. I will be hopefully recording a Manzi's Magic here really soon as well, so I can talk about the Orlando Magic as well as the rest of the NBA if you are into that. But for this episode, actually 76... of Dimes on Duval, for Skyler, for Mike, and for myself, Keith, thank you all so much, and we'll catch you next time.
We'll miss you, J-Rob.